All right. So good afternoon, everyone, after lunch. My name's Nancy Morrow-Flood, and I'm based in Tasmania. But for the past 9 years, I've been working and living in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. So I've been back in Australia for 3 months. So what I'm going to talk about today, apart from trying to flesh out the title of my talk, which is Emergent Technologies, Bricolage as a Design Approach, the GNU Public License Software. I'm going to explain what that is because I understand it's probably a bit of a convoluted title, but I actually hope this talk will make those terms become a bit more transparent. I'm going to be talking about the kind of projects I've been involved with, which are two different types of kind of hack labs. And I put the definition of what a hack lab is up here because I haven't really found many since I've been back in Australia, and I plan to kind of, I hope to start one up, well, in Tasmania, and hope to see that kind of emergent engagement with technologies becomes more common throughout. As computational media is becoming more ubiquitous in everyone's everyday life, hopefully that these kind of more experimental settings will also emerge. So this is the Wikipedia definition of the hack lab. So it says a hack lab is an autonomous technology zone used for promotion, use and development of emancipatory technologies such as free software. Hack labs promote active participation and creative use of technology, which their participants see as a reaction to the passive consumption. So the kind of technology is kind of something you consume and not actually critically engage with, that is usually associated with computer technologies. So my particular approach to engaging with computational media is a very subjective one, and I'm actually, you know, coming from an artistic background and not a background as a programmer. So while there's actually a lot of things to say about the whole definition of free software as opposed to open source software, I'm not going to go into that today. I'm going to show projects that are inspired from the free software movement. And one of those projects I'm involved with is Modder. And this is our website up here. We're actually physically based in Rotterdam, but we do a lot of projects here, there and everywhere. And I'm now based in Tasmania. So, so we're an experimental media lab. And, we function as an autonomous artistic collective. I'm involved in the production, presentation of theoretical discourse around electronic media and contemporary fine art. Some of the projects, for instance, that we do, one that's coming up is a Wi-Fi workshop. So it's basically kind of sharing information about how, Wi-Fi networks are encrypted and how you can actually open them out and share them. And that's something I was noticing quite a bit since I've been back in Australia. There's not many open Wi-Fi zones. Now, I understand that there's big issues of privacy and criminality involved with all of this. So I try not to get stuck into those issues because I just want to kind of share some of these activities that kind of have been spawned from these types of groups and hope to inspire more critical engagement with the technology that often people take as givens. Here's quite a big blurb. I won't read it out about, why. So sometimes we still enjoy the luck of finding an open Wi-Fi network that some generous geek left free or occupied housewife forget to secure. Sadly, most recent wireless access points come off the shop shelves being reconfigured with rather strong encryption. So we believe that regardless the settings the devices are sold with, people still might not mind us using their wireless for the common good. And all we need to do is help them share it. So they're the kind of workshops that are going on there. And most of the people from all around the world, and we all represent our own artistic practice, but we come together as a group called Moda. So a lot of our practices embrace the creative misuse of objects, images and concepts in our work, and kind of explore Dada-esque kind of notions of performance, hacking, appropriation and questioning intellectual property in order to make transparent the inner workings of these systems for a critical approach. So that's a project that I'm involved in now. But what I actually want to kind of go back to is another project called The Gender Changes. And this is an ongoing project since 1999. It started off in the kind of squats and hack labs of Amsterdam. We actually began in a place called ASCII, Amsterdam Subversive Centre for Information Interchange. So basically a few of us women members or visitors to this lab noticed that there was actually not many women at all, and some women would walk in and walk out again, and so there was like, you know, one woman and 10 men all sitting around at computers. So from that, we started our own night, like women's only night, Monday nights actually, and then actually it was, we got quite a overwhelming response. But basically, ASCII, it was a place providing free internet service. This is kind of before internet cafes became a common thing. And also, recycling computers from the trash. So computers were found on the street, brought in, installed with one kind of the Linux distributions from Debian or Dynabolic, Gentoo. And basically, it was an open space for people to come and use. So it's not open now as a physical space anymore, but there's still an online community. So out of this ASCII, a smaller group we started called the Gender Changes. And Gender Changes is actually, for those of you who don't know, it's not a sex change group. It's actually, it's a converter. It converts male plug to a female plug or vice versa. So that's where the name comes from. And basically we set up once a week providing workshops, skills sharing workshops about free software for women, and also about empowering women to use technologies first and foremost. So it's a very grassroots type of thing. And I'll just show you a documentary, a very short one, that Maria in Athens did of one of our projects called the Eclectic Tech Carnival, and I'll talk a bit more about it after. Oh. I'll do this one.
ETC is a subdirectory in a Linux directory system. We decided to make
years now. demonstrate the program to show them the ability to overcome the situation, also to establish economic solidarity networks among women. I think one of the most famous parts of China Girls Workshop was this for women in traditional union professions, when a petition funding cut the current and that sort of thing. 2 years ago, we have realized that women work more in a way of promoting ICTs as a new, both economic and political space for women.
Excuse me.
The idea of the gender changes came out to change the gender-related behavior in techniques, especially computer hardware. There are some hacker meetings, or especially international hacker meetings, where often coming people from other countries. But they are all, you see, maximum 1% of women there, or even less. The idea is to get everybody involved and playing around, because just something to you but not spread out.
So that gives you a bit of insight to the Eclectic Tech Carnival, which is... sorry, I'm just trying to work these two machines here. Oh, yeah. Which is... been going since 2002. It started in Pula, Croatia. So it's a weekly women's kind of hack lab, or in actually introducing also a lot of women to technology. So you've got people from doing, as you saw, very basic like silkscreen printing workshops to actually system administration, and all of these people are in the same space. And you know, basically, we try to leave the infrastructure there after the event. So, if we don't kind of... One year we did it in 2005 in Timișoara in Romania, and it wasn't as if we kind of went there with all these kind of, you know, Apple G4s and then kind of left with them as well. We tried to actually leave an infrastructure there. So, you know... Our approach, we take a holistic approach to technology, and you know, try to kind of, apart from empowering women to actually have the confidence to use it, also have an ethical approach. So try and inspire people, or kind of get them to engage with the tools, and rather than kind of want the latest specs like fastest or cheapest, you know, so you can actually do quite a lot on an old Pentium 3 that most people throw out on the street. So, and apart from, you know, also what's been happening the last few years, I'm looking at e-waste and kind of all of this kind of stuff has also been coming into it alongside of skill sharing. So, the types of workshops that we give, for instance, on a more practical level. You see, this computer crash course is really very, very popular. So it's basically just opening up an old PC, naming all the parts, and then putting it back together again. And it kind of demystifies the whole idea of a lot of people that aren't aware or aren't computer users, regular computer users. They think they're going to break it. So the first thing we do is give them an old floppy disk and say, break it open, you know. And, you know, then that kind of, you know, opens it up to be able to kind of get stuck into the machine, as you saw in that film, that it's like a very hands-on kind of physical thing to do and quite an engaging thing. So that's just one of the ways that kind of bridge that gap. So, yeah. And we're also very much into kind of promoting hand coding, and this is this CSS HTML workshop is also really very popular as well. So, yeah, I mean, the types of, you know, workshops that we give, apart from, you know, showing the GIMP as a alternative to Photoshop and things like that as well, where, you know, also into promoting low consumption software creations, you know, promoting the idea of and practice of open source knowledge sharing, and also the idea of having our local base in Amsterdam that originally started in Amsterdam, but then it's the kind of gender changes local groups have kind of spread all over the world since then. And then you've got the Eclectic Tech Carnivals, where everyone kind of comes together. I mean, not everyone comes all the time, but it's more kind of gender changes on the road thing. And that also kind of promotes, you know, this online and face-to-face community, and you have both. I mean, this is our old website, so this is our new one. This is our old one when we were much more into kind of promoting the Unix file system as something first and foremost that people should know. But, we also have mail lists and an IRC channel and, you know, places you can meet online, as well as these real-life local or international, yearly international events. And eventually, you know, eventually, hopefully, it will promote women's employment of free software, so software products made by and influenced by women. Alongside of my particular interest, it is how artists can contribute to free software, the free software movement. So moving on and kind of looking at it from more of a theoretical level. So we pick up threads and kind of traces from this momentum's pile of knowledge around us, and we're continually articulating and weaving these together. And this approach can be found in the notion of bricolage, widely acknowledged by Claude Lévi-Strauss. So I'm particularly interested in free software development because, yeah, people understand the world in many different ways, and therefore, you know, you can kind of tailor the code. You have access to the code. You can actually, it's open to kind of quite wild configurations. And in a sense, I'm interested in how we can inspire engagement with technologies in very different ways. So there's mythical and kind of logical modes of understanding. So it's not just about a consumption device. Honouring mythical thought is intrinsic to this. And I included this picture, actually, of this performance artist, Joan Jonas, who was at the Sydney Biennale. And, you know, this was from 1975, and this was kind of her way of engaging with the TV, you know, and making a steal from that. And I thought that's kind of, you know, a very different way of engaging with the television. But also, how can mythical thought be alongside, you know, understanding technological development, and how can that kind of, how can they influence each other, in a sense? So, I also thought I'd include this quote from Baudelaire with in his article, The Philosophy of Toys, because basically, I'm quite enchanted when I look inside machines and, you know, I like to touch their inner parts, and I guess this stems from my childhood when, like, my mum would turn the TV off and I'd go and, you know, look behind it and see the people running from it. You know, so it's also about having kind of a demystifying technology, but also kind of still holding that enchantment with it and not kind of as this kind of fashion gadget, in a sense, and wondering actually what these interfaces can do, and looking at kind of how people engage with particular interfaces and mechanisms in the past, and from this all kind of, yeah, it's about experimental engagement with technology, and I think that's something that is not actually really happening or being discussed in the discourses at the moment. So Hack Labs, these places have developed, they're basically a subjective response to extend materials and situations beyond their previous given limitation. So it's all about collaboration instead of competition, and as well as practically kind of introducing no strings attached marketed products. And, you know, basically ownership of the production means, as well as, you know, inspiring this kind of other way of engaging as well that's more creative. So, free software gives more freedom to build what you have in mind and not what the software industry has in mind. And, as mentioned by John Nash, the best result will come from everybody in the group deciding what is the best for himself in the group. And so first and foremost, with the free software tools, they're developed from an idiosyncratic personal need and desire that will benefit others in the community eventually as well. But they're not an off-the-shelf product. So one of the features with free software, it removes a very strict barrier between users and developers, because it's software that's very open to hacking. It's very open to wild configurations, and it can be much more tailor-made, much more specifically deployed, installed and configured than most proprietary software. And you don't have to be a hardcore developer or program to build a custom application, although you do have to. It is quite a wide learning curve. So, yeah, you do need to invest more time, more skills in order to productively use it. And you certainly don't get instant out-of-the-box gratification. So that's why these kind of collaborative events and hack labs are also important, because it gives you time and space. Rather than having a vocational, teleological aim, it gives time for that kind of engagement, and time is definitely a big part of it. And, yeah, the nice coherence, the nice wrapping that you have with proprietary software is not there. But specifically for experimental artistic practices, it's really powerful because, yeah, it gives you more freedom to build, yeah, what you have in mind, as I said before. I'm just looking at the time here. So I'm kind of running out of time. I'll kind of skip through. Here's one of my projects, a paraphernalia, just as a kind of concrete example of what, basically this is a hacked up gamepad I used as a, used with Pure Data program language. It's an open source signal processor. And, it's turned it into an instrument, basically. And that's the Pure Data patch. And, yeah, it's another kind of device, a voice modification tool. But I'll just rush through that, actually. So basically, I'll go back to this quote by Leibniz. So this is kind of like the enchanting element of all the different layers of engaging with technology, and this is obviously from 1600. And he was looking at the theatre as a machine for introducing wisdom, and he was wondering, because there was a lot of cheats and gambling in the theatre at that time, and obviously when you say hacking, there's all of this kind of, I just want to make a link to that, because there's actually, you know, a lot of stigma involved with that culture, and actually it's quite playful, and it's not, you know, there's a big differentiation between hacking and cracking. And the crackers, they're the ones that will go into your bank account. The hackers are just people playing and extending particular tools. Anyway, so I thought I would bring this quote in, give a side understanding of what I'm trying to say. So basically, yeah, he was wondering if cheats... Leibniz wondered if cheats could be allowed into the theatre or not, and then he came to the conclusion that your gambling must remain the nucleus of the entire project, because in play, even deception entails kind of healing effect. And basically, his academy of representation proliferated into a multiplication of perspectives, opinions and insights that led to the new kind of inventions. And at that same time, not in his theatre, but they have this particular invention, the Turk, which was, I don't know if anyone knows about the Turk, but it actually inspired Alan Turing, the mathematician, to make the counting machine. So when Alan Turing saw this chess apparent, you know, this fake automaton, he actually got inspired to make, you know, what was later to become the computer. But in fact, the Turk was, you know, it had a little man inside the box operating the chess, but he managed to fool people for 84 years. And this kind of foolery and playing with things, you know, opened up people's, someone like Alan Turing. He even fooled Napoleon, actually. Napoleon played chess with this and was fooled too. So, I don't know, I think that's what I'm trying to get at when I'm talking about enchantment and kind of creative use of technology without kind of thinking about, economic rationalism and, vocational things all the time. Yes, they're there, but perhaps another kind of engagement is also very much needed, I would say. I'll skip over all of this. Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, what are the ways in which we can engineer interfaces also that validate subjugated knowledges? So, the practice of bricolage in media design questions the rigid or deeply rooted costumes of kind of essentialist reproduction and prescribed identities and roles. It speaks of the human form that is ephemeral, not concrete, and never quite what we think. So that's why I'm inspired by the GNU Linux free software movement. And, yeah, that's why I'm trying to incorporate the free software and, well, open hardware. You can't really get open hardware yet, but definitely opening up hardware and hacking it into my artistic practice. And, I mean, in the sense, the kind of rubric of the GNU Linux tools is very open-ended because the source code is free to be used and extended upon and developed. And specifically for users of the command line, the tools have endless variables and executed by programmers inhibited and impatient with the limitation of the graphical user interface. And I mean, when I first discovered I had the power to delete something in the trash, that when I used to use OS X, you know, you couldn't delete it, and then you can actually open up the terminal and then change the permissions and delete. Like, I felt like I was no longer a prisoner stuck inside like this kind of holding pattern, because you kind of have come up against these walls all the time when you don't actually fully understand how this thing works. And so because the entire system can be controlled and tweaked by the user, in this sense, the operating system of the GNU Linux, specifically, well, some operating systems more than others, some distributions more than others, let's say, but the Linux operating system, in a broad sense, has a subjective aesthetics by its very substance, because it blurs the line between two self-contained realms of human and machine, because you're tweaking that machine and in turn your needs to your needs. So, so the in a sense, the GNU Linux tools is an operating system in flux, responding to the output and needs of a living community. So, as I just was saying, for the user awareness, it's not locked up in a bounded density of the closed object or kind of closed machine. And the ability for the machine to extend itself to a network is open and indeterminate. So I even think that actually that can give insights back into our own subjective complexity. And having the awareness of our own intercellular process leads to a change in physical experience and sensation. But that's kind of a whole other area. But just to kind of, yeah, I'll skip through that because now I'm like 15 minutes over. So, so basically a large population of the world who use computers don't even know that there is a choice of other operating systems available, and I think that's the main point as well. Go to this URL. I'm not a programmer, but I do think that there's something more integrated about programming the software, or at least knowing the nuts and bolts of it, because I have the desire to develop the software tools according to my own needs. And in my view, software development from an artistic perspective is the ability to define myself based on my experiences rather than ones that are rather than an externally prescribed view of me that I'm kind of given when I have to get, you know, this off the shelf kind of interface. So it serves, if I'm have more of a input into developing it, it serves my needs rather than kind of someone else's. And actually, the implications of this far outstrips issues of hardware and software, because they open out prescribed ways of being in the world, because you're actually operating every day with with this device or with your computer or with your mobile phone or with your iPod. I mean, these kind of things I think have... they should be really thought about. So, we leave that there. So when source code is available to me, I think it's more of having a reference for someone else's work, being able to acknowledge, then copy that code and understand how that person thought and felt, but bringing your own idiosyncratic kind of vision or needs onto that, and yet to understand that all these efforts are related and have a larger common purpose. So for the repository, the software repository, the GNU Linux software repository, but also a bunch of tools developed by a community as well. So I think I'll leave it there because I'm looking at the time. And, any questions? No? Okay, thank you.